Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm your host, Katie Mox. Coming up on today's show, it was an eventful week 14. We'll judge some overreactions, or maybe they're not. We'll go over our best bets for Thursday night football between the 49ers and the Seahawks. Bitter, bitter, bitter rivals there. And you know it, you've got some Mox locks coming your way. Before we get started, we have to welcome in our guest, Kenny Betts Big, who unfortunately is licking some wounds today on his huge Portugal futures bet. Kenny, how are we doing?
I thought we weren't going to bring that up, Katie.
We discuss that we weren't? Whoops.
I'm doing all right. I don't know if I should feel good about this or bad about this. They switched me on the show to back to Wednesday, and I know you had something to do with it because apparently I'm the 49er mush. So what better show to have me on than today, right?
What better show to have you on than today? And despite this, 30-second conversation we've had, Kenny wins a lot of money and a lot of bets, so don't let this fool you. But I do like to call him a 49ers mush. It's my favorite thing to do. Let's get into some overreactions or not. Ready to unpack these. Brock Purdy, first one. Could he steal Trey Lance's job? Is this an overreaction or not?
It's funny because, we kind of started talking about this last week. Like, what happens if, Brock Purdy comes in against Tom Brady and lights it up? We were talking like, we were talking like it was something that, was so slim of a chance of happening. Yeah. And then he comes in and plays probably one of the best games we've seen a rookie quarterback play. Man, how are you feeling is the question as a Niners fan.
I am Brock hard for Purdy. I mean, that kid is just a little stud. And here's the thing, that I'm like the biggest Jimmy Garoppolo fan. I kind of prefer Brock Purdy under center right now with the way that he's been playing. I think that the game plan has not changed at all between Jimmy Garoppolo and Brock Purdy. And in fact, I think it's opened up the offense a little bit more, and Shanahan's having him do more stuff. He's a little bit more mobile than Jimmy has ever been. Now, of course, you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself. We're two games in, but the two games that he's played have been absolutely phenomenal. And so do I think that it's an overreaction that he's going to take Trey Lance's job? No, I think that Trey Lance is in jeopardy of losing his job. I think that Jimmy Garoppolo has done enough this season to be able to secure a job for him. It's not going to be with the 49ers. I've already come to terms with that. But he's going to be able to secure a job somewhere else. I know he has a broken foot right now. They're not doing surgery. It's not going to be like last year where he's going to miss training camp with whatever the new team is. I would like to see him with the Jets. I'm just going to go ahead and put that out here. But with the way that Brock Purdy is playing, if the 49ers can get, deep in the playoffs and, maybe to the Super Bowl under Brock Purdy, Trey Lance is looking to be QB number two next year.
Jeez. And, fellas, anyone listening at home, take notes here, because you could have a chiseled jawline like Jimmy G. You can make millions of dollars like Jimmy G. And just like that, they're ready to throw you to the side. I never would have thought I would have heard Katie Mox say, Jimmy G, move over. But yeah, when you play like Brock Purdy played, when he filled in for Jimmy G and then last game where he got his first start, how could you not give that guy the job? He came in, all the teammates, like we hear Bosa say, it seems like he's way beyond his years of playing in the NFL, right? Like he's a real professional in the locker room, in the film room. Like he really wants it, they say, about Brock Purdy. So yeah, I don't think this is an overreaction at all. Trey Lance, I mean, you got to feel bad for the guy because all the hype coming in around him. But what does he do now? Like, if let's say Brock Purdy continues to light it up, obviously the Niners move on from Jimmy G. Like, what happens next year for Trey Lance? Like, is he just a backup now, I guess? Like,
well, I think he's the backup until they can, unload him somewhere else. Now, I like Trey Lance as a person. I've always said, and Kenny, this, that getting him, moving all of those, number one draft picks in order to get him as a third overall was going to be the biggest bust ever. One, we didn't need to do it. We had Jimmy Garoppolo, and no one's really seen him play that much. I know that there's been like a couple explosive plays in college, but when you look at the amount of games that Brock Purdy played in college versus Trey Lance, like it was just such a gamble. And I do feel bad because had he not, got injured, a season ending injury earlier this year, then maybe we would have been able to see what he could grow into. But when you got someone that can instantly go into the offense like Brock Purdy has, and let's see how far this kid can take us, there's no way that you could be like, oh, by the way, you're going to go back to being Mr. Irrelevant and being a backup. There's just no way.
So are you worried at any bit at all that this could potentially be like a Bailey Zapp or a Mike White type performance where he comes in for a game or two, lights it up, and then, you know, defenses have some film and they're able to game plan for him?
Yeah, look, you have to factor that in, right? You absolutely have to factor that in. But at the end of the day, I think that the pieces around him are so hard to game plan for that even if you're kind of like, okay, I know what Brock Purdy's doing, you still don't know what Christian McCaffrey's doing. You still don't know what Debo's doing whenever he gets healthy, or Kittle or Juszczyk or whatever. So I feel like, and I know this is what a lot of people have said, Kyle Shanahan's offense is set up so that anybody can be successful at the quarterback in that position. Now, I don't think that's entirely true. However, we've seen three quarterbacks in it right now doing pretty good. So we'll have to see. But I definitely think that Trey Lance should be worried about his job.
Yeah. I mean, just look at Matt Ryan in the Shanahan offense, right? Like Shanahan leaves the Falcons. Matt Ryan completely falls off a cliff. So yeah, I mean, quarterbacks look good.
Quarterbacks look good. Speaking of quarterbacks that look good, Baker Mayfield, oh my goodness, in his first game with the Rams, having only been there for like 12 hours or 48 hours. I don't know how long he was there, but it wasn't very much. Could he be the Rams' starting quarterback in 2023? Is this an overreaction or not?
All right. We got to pump the brakes here on this one. We've seen Baker with a couple different franchises now and a couple different systems, you know, with good players around him, with bad players around him. And Baker is just, he's not the guy. I think he's a decent NFL quarterback. I think he's a great backup. If he's your starting quarterback, as you know, maybe if you're one of the bottom tier teams, it's not a terrible option. But if you're a team like the Rams with Super Bowl aspirations, no, Baker Mayfield is not your guy. I love how, I think that was more the Raiders imploding than it was Baker Mayfield going out and winning that game, right?
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if you were on the show the day after, or maybe it was Danny, but Josh McDaniels absolutely ruined my life and ruined all of my bets were good bets. And every single one of them should have hit if Josh McDaniels, knew how to do his job, but clearly he doesn't. And yes, not deciding to punt for it on 4th and 1 with 2 minutes left was just that I will never get over, especially because they had a QB rush in the last 4th and 1 and they got the first down. Prolong the game, try for it. You're up. I can't even talk about that. But yes, I agree with you. Pump the brakes on Baker Mayfield. This is an overreaction. Now, the only thing is that I've been hearing some whispers that maybe, Stafford might retire after this year. And then at that point, you know, what are the Rams going to do? They've lost so many draft picks going for broke. And maybe Baker Mayfield, if he continues to play well, could potentially have a starting spot. But I just think he's past his prime.
How bad does that trade look? I mean,
horrible.
I guess not because
they got the Lombardi. Yeah.
Yeah, right. They got the trophy. But Jared Goff is lighting it up in Detroit. He looks great.
He looks great. And, you know, again, it's like, I don't like the Seahawks. I don't like the Rams. We know I'm a 49ers fan, so I never really root for those quarterbacks, even when they go somewhere else. But if I had to choose, I guess because he's with the Lions now, I'll root more for Jared Goff, just maybe because I like Dan Campbell so much. But yeah, how about those Lions? They might make it to the playoffs.
Yeah. is that the next overreaction?
I don't know. It could be coming up. But the next one is the Cowboys. Are they overrated? After barely beating the Texans, they were 17-point favorites. And you and I were on the smart side of this. We said, absolutely no way. They ended up winning like a field goal? I mean, like, come on now. Is this an overreaction or not that the Cowboys are overrated?
Not an overreaction at all. Listen, Cowboys, and we see this every season, it seems like. They look like one of the best teams during the regular season. But as a sports fan, as a sports bettor, we all know the playoffs are not the regular season. You can be as good as you want during the regular season, but if you can't deliver in the big moments when the game matters the most, then it doesn't matter. Until we see Dak Prescott lead a team to a big, you know, come from behind victory or a big playoff win, I have zero faith in the Dallas Cowgirls.
Dallas Cowboys. I mean, yeah, it's the same thing. We've seen, you know, Dak Prescott is playing, you know, almost as good as we've seen him play. And they are leading the league right now in points per game. But they've had the number one offense, I don't even know how many years, you know, in a row, or how many years in the last 5 years. And it's never really amounted to anything. Now, they do have a better defense this year, but it's starting to get a little spotty. Some holes are kind of going in there. So, yeah, it's until we see otherwise, to your point, it's hard for me to say that this is not an overreaction, because all we know is that the Cowboys are completely overrated every single year.
Yeah, like just look at last year. We saw the defense, you know, with
the Niners kick them out.
Yeah, exactly, right? And this year they're slated in. They'll be facing Tom Brady in Tampa round one of the playoffs. No, give me the Bucs all day in that matchup.
Okay, you and the Bucks. We'll have to get on the Bucks. Hopefully there's a Bucks overreaction here. But to your point earlier, there is an overreaction about the Lions here. Jared Goff could lead the Lions to the playoffs this season. What do you think?
I love it. I don't think it's an overreaction at all. And here's why.
Okay.
There are two slots behind the Giants for the last playoff spot right now. Mm-hmm. The Giants play the Commanders this upcoming week. Those are the sixth and seventh slots for the last two playoff spots. So one of those teams is potentially going to bump each other out after this week. The Lions have their remaining four games are against the Jets, the Panthers, the Bears, and then the Packers in the last week, which may not have Aaron Rodgers. We're not sure yet. So I think the Lions can easily win all four of those games. They could run the table here, go 4-0 to end the season, and potentially sneak into the playoffs. And another thing, like the Lions, it's crazy because it's Detroit, yeah. And I'm just used to seeing Detroit with the fans with the bags over their head. But Dan Campbell and the Lions are really put in a good position to be very good for the next few years, because from that Jared Goff trade, they have the Rams number one pick this year, which is like the third overall pick, right? If the season ended today.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the Lions all of a sudden are flush with, you know, great players, big chips, and everything you want for a franchise going forward. So, yeah, I like the Lions the end of this year getting into the playoffs. And I think the next 5 years, the Lions have a good chance to get into the playoffs and potentially win a Super Bowl.
Potentially win a Super Bowl. I would agree with you for like next year, but I'm going to say this is an overreaction for this year. I did give Jared Goff a little bit of praise here, and it has been, you know, impressive and fun to see the Lions doing well. But I believe in the NFC right now, it's like a four-man race for a playoffs for that last, you know, for the two playoff spots. So there's the Commanders, the Giants, the Seahawks, and the Lions. So whoever wins the Commanders and Giants game this weekend is the most likely of them to get in, just because they have that tie. I don't know. It's the Lions. You know, we said the Cowboys are going to Cowboys. I still feel like the Lions are going to Lions. So I'm going to say this is an overreaction. However, I won't be, I guess, completely surprised if they somehow squeak it in. How about those Panthers?
That might be the biggest overreaction I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Are you forgetting who is in that division? Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, the Panthers, great story. They've surprised me a lot. I didn't think they were going to do anything this year. And they haven't really done much. I just think that division is really bad, like we all thought it would be. But no, I think, you know, when at the end of the day, the cream will rise to the right. Is that the saying? The cream,
rise to the top. That's one of my favorite sayings. Yes, the cream always rises to the top.
Yeah. So the cream will rise to the top. And I do think like the Bucks and the Panthers, they have one meeting left. Will probably come down to that game. And who do you want in that situation? Tom Brady or Sam Darnold? So no, I think the Bucks will still sneak that win out.
Yeah, this is a complete overreaction. The Bucs are taking this division. And, you know, it's so funny when you said Tom Brady versus Sam Darnold, and I think about 45-year-old Tom this year, and I still would take him over Sam Darnold. So, yeah, I think that is the Bucs division. With Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, every bet earns with Caesars Rewards. That means whether you win or lose, you're always earning towards perks like free stays at iconic Caesars properties, game tickets, dining, and more. And if you haven't started yet, here's a reminder. Your first bet is on Caesars, up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code OMAHA full and place your first bet. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it back as a free bet. Must be 21 or older, offer valid, and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Michigan, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bet credit $1,250. Must be used within 14 days of receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas. Affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania. Affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW YORK or text HOPE-NEW YORK, 467-369.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time now for Capper's Corner. Let's welcome back in Kenny and talk Thursday night football between the San Francisco 49ers and the Seahawks. Niners are favored -190 on the money line. Seahawks +158 if you're feeling frisky. Spread is 3. This was 3.5. So I love that we got the hook there. Favoring the Niners, 43.5 is the total betting trend. San Francisco 5-1 against the spread in their last six games. They've actually covered 4 straight games. The totals hit the over in 6 of Seattle's last 9 home games, but those haven't been against the 49ers. So let's talk some bets for this one. Game side, Kenny, what do you think? Moneyline, spread, totals, give it to me.
Well, I guess I'm going to fit right into my 49ers mush segment. Woo! And I am 0-2 picking against the Niners in the last 2 weeks. So, you know, the name fits. I'm going to go with the Seahawks here. The line is ticked down to 3. Yeah. Probably, I'm assuming it's probably because of the Brock Purdy news. He's still up in the air. Is he going to play? But, you know, we both agree. We think he's going to play. So I like the Seahawks here, getting the 3.5 at home on the short week for the Niners and the young quarterback.
All right. Well, look, I love to hear that. And you know why. I'm taking the Niners -3. And y'all know I don't always take the Niners against the spread, but I do love this spot. I don't always. I find ways to take the Niners, but I don't always take them to cover the spread or money line or any of those things. Come on, Kenny. All right. But to your point, Brock Purdy, he is listed as day-to-day with that rib and oblique injury. However, I would be shocked if he doesn't play because a win tomorrow and the Niners can clinch the NFC West title. Niners are 6-0 straight up in their last 6 games, and they have covered in 4 straight. The Hawks, they're going in the opposite direction, Kenny. Seattle just 1-3 in their last 4 and have failed to cover in each of those games. Geno Smith has been impressive this season. I cannot take anything away from him. He is sporting the 3rd best passer rating in the NFL at 106.8. However, against the 49ers defense, that rating dropped to 80.1 in week 2, where he was held out of the end zone, something that has only happened twice this season. So whether it's Purdy or not, but we definitely think it's going to be pretty. And in an atmosphere like Seattle, okay, credit to the 12th man. That crowd absolutely impacts games. And as we've seen, Purdy's been very, very good at home. Going in Seattle against the 12th man in that atmosphere is an entirely different ball game. So I do think that the game plan for Shanahan is going to be very simple. Run the ball as much as possible. 49ers are outrushing teams by 459 yards since week 10, the best in the NFL. So I believe that the Niners are going to win the ground game here, regardless of quarterback and no Debo and the crowd noise in the past six games. Kenny, here's my favorite stat. The Niners have outscored teams 172-64. That's a plus 108 differential. I love that we're getting the hook here. Give me the Niners. Minus three. All right.
Katie, you're going to learn on Thursday.
Or you just keep learning. I don't know. It's one or the other. Okay, so let's talk about the Seahawks. What is your favorite bet for the Seahawks? Now, I will say prop lines right now are pretty slim. And with the Purdy news, it's kind of slim pickings here. So there might be some more things that open up. But what's something you like for the Seahawks that's on the board right now or that you can see coming on the board?
Yeah, so I'm going to go Seahawks first quarter plus a half. It's minus 130 on Caesars Sportsbook. So not a ton of juice, but, you know, kind of like what you just talked about. Obviously, Purdy is hurt. He's a little banged up coming into this game. I do expect him to play. But for that reason, I do think the Niners offense will be a little more vanilla, a lot of run game. I think this will be, you know, tight division game. We see it every week in the NFL. These division opponents, they know what each other are going to do, and they know how to stop it. So with the short week, obviously the young quarterback, I think the game plan is going to be very, very, very thin. So I think the Seahawks, I think, you know, I look at this game and I ask myself, like, how are the Seahawks going to cover this spread? Because I know when I look at this, I'm taking the Seahawks plus the three, plus 3.5. Like, I just know that that's the bet.
Yeah.
And it's one of those bets where you're looking and you're asking yourself, like, I don't know how the Seahawks are going to cover here, but I know it's the NFL and I know how this usually plays out. So yeah, I'm going to go Seahawks first quarter plus a half.
Honestly, I don't hate that bet at all because especially it takes a while for the Niners defense has kind of been not exposed, but been caught off guard in like the first few plays of the game. And the first quarter, I feel like, is when a lot of these teams have been able to score on them. Now we do know what happens in the second half of the game. So I'm actually not mad at this bet, but I am going to take the Seattle Seahawks team total under 19. This was 18 and now it's 19. This is at plus money at plus 112. Seattle defense, they continue to worsen down the stretch, but the 49ers defense continues to improve. D'Amico Ryan's crew has allowed 17 points or fewer in six straight games. San Francisco has held opponents to under 70 rushing yards per game within that span. Additionally, the unit has allowed an average of just 8 points on 296.7 yards over the last three games. Oh, and San Francisco, they've also posted the second best total DVOA rating in the NFL. Seattle was held to just a field goal in the week two matchup. Geno Smith pressured on 44% of his dropbacks in that game, the most he's faced this year. So there's a lot of question marks surrounding the Niners offense. However, that number one rated defense, that has been a solid bet. In fact, team total of opponents against the Niners has cashed for me in three straight weeks. So I look for that to continue.
Yeah, it's. I feel like the Niners defense isn't getting talked about enough. Just how dominant they've been. Like I mean, obviously the Bucs have struggled a little this year, but like that was a absolute beatdown of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday.
Yeah. And look, Tom Brady is still the GOAT and the Godwin is still really good. And like, there's still players that are there. And the fact that they weren't able to put anything together and Tom Brady just looked confused the whole time, that's the pass rush really getting to him. And so I feel like the 49ers defense has just been getting better and better. And if you don't want to play a total, I mean, look at the last few games. They've held their opponents to 17 points. So for me, this is one of the best bets on the board to have the team total of the opposing team with the 49ers under, and especially if it's at 19. All right, let's look at 49ers. I know you're not, you know, you don't like the Niners in this game, but there's got to be a Niners prop that you like.
Yeah, there is actually. And I like this. It's not out yet. Like Katie was saying, a lot of these props are not released yet. We'll probably pop up later tonight or tomorrow. But when Brock Purdy is announced that he's going to play,
Speak it into existence.
Exactly, right? We got to manifest it. I'm big on manifesting things. Brock Purdy's going to throw a pick, speaking about manifesting.
Yeah, all right.
that's my prop bet, is Brock Purdy to throw a pick. Yeah. And, you know, as good as he looked last week against the Bucks, the week prior when he stepped in for the injured Jimmy G, he's still a young quarterback. The NFL is still a very, very tough game to play in. You know, we see it every year. These very top, highly touted, you know, college players come in and they step in and it takes them a little bit to figure out the game just because it's so much faster. Like, as us watching at home, we'll never understand just how different the NFL game is compared to college and high school levels. But, you know, you talk to someone that's played and they'll tell you it's very different. So Brock Purdy coming into Seattle, the short week, I keep talking about that, but that is a big, big thing for a quarterback that is not used to game planning 3 days, 4 days later, quick turnaround like that. That's a huge thing. That's why we see these Thursday games go under so, so often. I think Brock Purdy coming into Seattle, the 12th man, that stadium's going to be absolute pandemonium there.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the defense will be able to pressure him and force him to make a bad throw because we haven't seen him make one in the last two games. So he's due to have a bad throw sometime.
Yeah, I agree. I like this. I like this play as well. And like you said, again, and we talk about the difference between college and the majors. I know that's a baseball word, but in the NFL, are there crowds as loud as Seattle is? I mean, the 12th man, again, I don't like them very much, but they have been known to affect the outcomes of games and they have offenses completely rattled. He's not going to be able to hear anything, especially because this is such a big rivalry game. So, and with the injuries, with the ribs and the oblique, I definitely think he's probably due for one pick. I hope you don't get it, but I do think it's a pretty good bet. I'm going to look at Kittle over 41.5 receiving yards. This is kind of juiced. It's at minus 142. The Niners will certainly run the ball a lot. However, I do think that the game plan will likely include some short passes to reliable and friendly faces for Brock Purdy, who's friendlier than George Kittle. He had 5 targets on 4 receptions last week against the Bucks, only 28 yards. However, with Debo out, I do expect that Kittle's usage is going to increase a little bit here. And the people's tight end is actually more productive, on the road this season than at home. Kittle averages 56.2 receiving yards away compared to just 36.5 at Levi's. Seattle also has been pretty vulnerable to the tight end position, currently giving up the 4th most yards to the position, about 61 per game. The veteran tight end absolutely torched Seattle for 181 yards in week 2. We all saw what Kittle was able to do against the Cardinals in prime time. I think it's another big night for the people's tight end.
I actually like this one. I have a Kittle prop that I'm going to give out later. But yeah, the Seahawks defense, I think they're 27th in DVOA versus opposing tight ends. So it goes right in hand with you saying how the Seahawks struggle at stopping opposing tight ends. And yeah, I think no Debo. Obviously, you take away one of the Niners' most explosive weapons.
Yeah,
I think, you know, I said it last week and it didn't really come to fruition, but I think the Seahawks are going to have to do it this week. You kind of have to stop Christian McCaffrey on the ground and let Brock Purdy beat you. So I think they're going to really try and slow down that Niners run game, which is very, very hard to do, and force Brock Purdy to throw the ball. And who else does he have now? He's got Kittle and he's got, Ayuk. So I like Kittle in this game a lot.
Okay, good. I'm happy to hear that. All right, so now we're going to do an anytime touchdown score. These ones are fun. You know, obviously you don't bet the bankroll on them, but it's good for a little bit of a sprinkle. I'll start with this one because I got to give a little bit of love to Seattle here. I'm going to take Tyler Lockett, plus 155. If the Seattle Seahawks do make it into the end zone, Lockett is going to be your best bet. He's had a receiving touchdown in 6 straight games. It's the longest streak in team history. So give me Lockett, plus 155. But I will say the fact that the player that is leading the team history of, you know, touchdowns consecutively in games is still at plus 155. That tells you that odds makers don't really have a lot of faith that, that Seattle's going to get in the end zone.
Yeah. it's what I always say. If it seems too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true. I'm going to go with the other receiver for Seattle. I'm going to go DK Metcalf. And one of the reasons is, the Niners defense, very good in regards to DVOA versus the number 2 option on for the receivers on the other team. I talked about this last week with the Bucks, why I didn't really think Godwin was going to have a big game. So, I'm looking at DK Metcalf. I think they're gonna try and eliminate Tyler Lockett from the game plan. DK Metcalf, we talk about it all the time. In the end zone, in the red zone, you want one of those bigger targets, someone you can throw the ball up to, kind of put the ball where only your guy can go get it. And who's more of a freakish athlete in the NFL than DK Metcalf? So I think we'll see him get into the end zone. And at plus 160, it's worth a little sprinkle.
Definitely worth a little bit of sprinkle. All right. Speaking of sprinkles, how about a long shot bet? What do you like?
I just want to hit one of these, man.
Yes, you too.
we've gotten close a couple times, and we just always fall a little short. But I'm going to go George Kittle here. I'm going to go George Kittle to score 2+ touchdowns. It's plus 1,500.
Yes.
give it to me all. It's plus 1,500 on Caesar Sportsbook. So if we hit this, we're getting a nice payday. But, you know, Katie and I have both just talked about numerous reasons why we think George Kittle is poised to have a monster game on Thursday night. So 2 touchdowns, you know, why can't the guy get into the end zone 2 times? Obviously, it's very hard to do. That's why the odds are where they are. So don't go crazy. Don't go put your whole bankroll on it.
I love this.
Yeah.
I love this.
Is this not the game? Remember I texted you and Brasco and I was like, George Kittle, 80+ yards, anytime touchdown, and they all hit and we didn't pet it.
I didn't know if you wanted to bring it up on the show, but I was going to say, for as much as you have faded the 49ers, you've been dead on about George Kittle this year. And I remember you putting into the group chat about the 80+ yards and the 2 touchdowns. And you were like, I'm going to bet $500 on him. I'm like, oh, I don't know. That's kind of a lot, but like maybe. And then it hits. And we were like, oh my God, did you win $1 million? And you were like, I didn't bet it. So you know what? Make up for it on this one. Let's go George Kittle, 2 touchdowns. I love it. I'm going to ride with you on that one. My long shot bet is I'm going to take Kyle Juszczyk for the first touchdown score. It's at plus 2,300. So Purdy has already hit Juszczyk for his very first ever NFL touchdown. And the only other touchdown that Juszczyk got was against Seattle earlier this year. And I believe it was the first touchdown as well in that game. No Debo, again, opens his position up. So why can't it be juice for a first touchdown plus 2,300?
Yeah, that's a sneaky one. I like that a lot. I mean, obviously the first touchdowns, they're crapshoots, right? We don't know what's gonna happen. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you talk no Debo. Obviously, if the Seahawks are starting to game plan for, you know, maybe they're thinking what we're thinking. Oh, now we got to slow down George Kittle, and it opens up the field for Kyle Juszczyk. That's the problem with this Niners team. They have so many weapons. Like, they're on their third string quarterback. And we're talking about this guy is the second coming of Tom Brady.
And we're not shying away from playoffs or NFC championship games or even Super Bowl. I mean, it really is crazy. And it's a testament, you know, to John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan and the team that they have put together. But now let's talk about, you know, either a teaser or a parlay that you like for this game.
Yeah, so I'm going to go 2-team 7-point teaser. I believe it's – I think on Caesars, that's a juice to minus 130, I believe, is what it goes to if you do the 2-team 7 points.
Yep.
But I'm going to tease the Seahawks up, so plus 10, plus 10.5, depending on where you look. And then the total would be under 50.5. So I'm going to go Seahawks up and tease the total up as well. To take the under 50.5.
I love this. I don't think that the Niners are going to necessarily completely blow out the Seattle Seahawks. I do think it's going to be a low scoring game, teasing that up to the 10.5. I like it. Under 50.5. I kind of lean towards the under in the regular side of the game. So for a teaser, I love this. I'm getting a little crafty with my parlay here. I'm going to take Robbie Gould over 1.5 field goals made. Look, I know how these matchups go, and more than one of them have been decided by a field goal. Field goals are very important in these matchups, and Robbie G is the G here. So I'm taking him over 1.5 field goals. I'm also going to take McCaffrey over 4.5 receptions. I still think that he's going to be a key piece to the game plan here. So for him to get 5 receptions feels pretty good to me. I'm going to take a Kittle touchdown. I'm riding that with you. If all of these hit, it's at plus 1,200. Let's go Niners.
It actually doesn't sound like a lot to happen for plus 1,200. I like that.
Yeah, Robbie Gould over 1.5. McCaffrey over 4.5 receptions. Kittle touchdown. Like, come on. You riding with me?
It sounds free to me.
It sounds free. It does.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, let's get into mocks. Locks. What are the two things that you're taking to the window for sure?
So one, I guess the 49er mush. I got to continue with the trend.
Appreciate you.
Seahawks plus +3. Listen, we see this week in, week out in the NFL. When a team has a win and they're all the way up here, for whatever reason, the next week, they're somehow down here. And we have the Niners coming off a highly emotional win for their young quarterback, getting his first start, beating down Tom Brady in his hometown, just absolutely routing them. Beating, what was it? Was it 35-7 was the final score?
It was like 28-0 going into the half. The kid had two passing touchdowns, a rushing touchdown, and a QB sneak all in the first. I mean, it was just.
I just teed you up for
ridiculous.
That one perfectly.
Yeah.
But in the NFL, anytime you get a team coming off a very big win like that, 17 or more points, I always fade them that following week. Like, look at Dallas this past week against Houston, right? They had that big win against the Colts. You fade them the next week. You're a winner with the Texans. So I'm going to do that here with the Seahawks, take them plus +3, and I feel pretty good about it.
All right. Well, I'm going to counter that and take the Niners minus -3. And I feel pretty good about that as well. And look, we've already talked about ad nauseum why I think that the Niners are going to be able to win and cover this game. And also my second lock, I really, really love and probably my favorite bet is the Hawks team total under the 19, because that's just been the most consistent thing with this 49ers defense. And they were able to hold the Seahawks to just a field goal in week 2. So that's my second lock. What's your second?
I'm going to go Bucks. If Tom
Bucks?
Lets me down, yeah. If the Bucks, if Tom lets me down this week, I might be done with the Buccaneers.
Oh, we're talking about Sunday. I thought you were talking about. I'm like, well, the Bucks played last week. Okay,
Tom. Yeah. I was just giving us a Sunday.
You're
lock.
Taking Tom Brady against Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I have
oh,
to.
Lord.
So, do you know that this past game against the 49ers, Tom Brady bought more tickets for friends and family than any game ever before in his career, more than any Super Bowl. And the guy's been to a lot of them. I just think that Tom's going to come into this game fully motivated. And this is not who the Bengals want to see. So, yeah, I think I would take the Bucks on the alternate spread. I think they win by a touchdown easy this game.
Ooh, I will say, look. It's risky, you know what I mean? And I don't know what the odds are for that one, but I will say a trend that I have, well, actually Danny brought this to my attention and I've researched into it further, is that teams following playing the 49ers, whether they won or lost the game, are just 1-11 straight up in the week following. The only team that won their game after playing the 49ers defense is the Chiefs, and they had a bye week to recover. So it does take a long time to recover from the PTSD of what this 49ers defense can do to you. But to your point, you know, Tom Brady is going to be motivated like no other. And we do know that Joe Burrow is really feeling himself right now, having been the only quarterback to beat Patrick Mahomes 3 times in a row. So he might be feeling himself a little bit too much, get caught off guard. It is the first time that Burrow and Brady will meet. So it's going to be a fun one to watch, and that'll be a great cash for you. So I'm pulling for you.
Thank you. I think we'll hit that. But like I said, if Tom and the Bucks let me down, they're dead to me.
Well, we're going to have to do a press conference, an emergency press conference on the Bucks and Tom being dead to you, because I will definitely want to be there for this one. Kenny, thank you so much. This has been such a fun show. This is Moxie Bets, presented by Caesar Sportsbook. Don't forget to follow us on social @MoxieBets. We'll see you Friday.